Okay. How many of you ever thought to yourself, why did you schedule yourself to do something? Well, that's me. That's what I did. But I always make a policy that I don't do a breakout. I don't know if you've been in some that I've done, even though there's a policy. But the Holy Spirit really spoke to me in January when I was at a national conference and we were wanting to do a breakout on mentoring, and I said, well, we'll have to find someone. And I'm at a national conference, and the Holy Spirit just really spoke to me and said, no, you're the one that's supposed to do this. And so I submitted immediately. How many of you submit immediately? Well, you know, I submitted in enough time to get it done. And so then we went and we did it. So I'm just going to share with you a little, just some things about biblical mentoring and how mentoring was in the Bible. I'm going to tell you why mentoring, and we're going to talk about some practical tips on being mentored and being a mentor. Hopefully you enjoy it. So let's talk a minute about biblical mentoring. What is mentoring? Can someone answer that for me? What is mentoring? Pouring into someone else? Guiding them?
Coaching.
Instruction, being a role model, discipleship. It's all of those things. The definition is a wise and trusted counselor or teacher. And that is the definition of it. But what mentoring comes down to a lot of things. There's different ways to mentor. There's different types of mentoring. There's different depths of mentoring. And I found all of those in my life. I've had mentors, and I find myself with mentoring. One of the things I find is that I love hanging out with young women, younger women, and I just find myself doing that. And I find that I get to be a part of their life, and then you begin to find that you have something to give. You know, and you're like, you're shocked. I don't know if you've ever been there. You're like, oh, that sounded pretty good. I should write that down. Oh, look at there. And then you realize you're 50 plus and you should have something to say. So let's talk about, we find in Scripture where it says, oh, I've got a thing. I should have kept up with it. Okay. We find in Scripture where it says in Titus 2, 4 through 5, and this is the New Living Translation, older women are to teach the young women to, okay, get this, love their husbands. That's important. We're talking biblical mentoring. We don't teach them how to manipulate their husbands. We don't teach them. Oh, we already have a man. We don't teach them how to get around their husbands. We don't teach them that they need a new husband. This is biblical mentoring. We teach them how to love their husbands and their children. And, you know, in this day and age, sometimes you have to teach that, how to love their children. They are to teach them to think before they act. Someone probably should have taught me that. And to be pure, to be workers at home, to be kind, to obey their husbands. Now that, let's translate that to respect their husbands. I usually obey mine though most of the time. In this way, the word of God is honored. So we as older women, and if you have someone that's younger than you, you are older than them. We are to encourage them. We are to train them and lead them in the ways of the Bible and the biblical things and biblical statutes and policies and policies, not good, guidelines that the Bible sets down. You know, sometimes we find ourselves being very defensive or getting on a soapbox with them. When really, if you bring it down to the level, you need to say to them, no, you need to respect your husband. Okay, you need to do this. And let me tell you how. I totally understand how you feel, but this right here is how he's feeling. Instead of being on a soapbox with him, that's just another, a whole other session. So mentoring is found throughout Scripture. And so we're going to talk just a few examples of mentoring in Scripture. So Moses mentored Joshua. As they were going, you know, through the desert, searching Moses, poor Moses, you know, he never reached his goal. And that's just a really sad story. But he had to raise somebody up because he was not going into the promised land. So then they found Joshua. God found Joshua. So Moses began to mentor Joshua. And Joshua watched him. And Moses, I'm sure, talked to him and told him things. And then when Joshua did something boneheaded, Moses said, "Oh, you can't do that. You know, this is the people don't like it when you do that, you know," or whatever it took. So Moses mentored Joshua. And Joshua led the nation into the promised land. Naomi, the mother-in-law of Ruth, both widows, both of them, mentored her not only in the ways of God, but in the next phase of her life. She was her wingman, in a sense. So here's the thing about Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite woman. When Naomi decided to leave Moab, Ruth didn't have to go. She had family there. She had lost her husband. She could go back to their customs. Her father could give her to someone else. But she didn't do that. Why? Because Naomi had invested in her. She had invested in her. She had taught her the ways of the Lord. She had understood the ways of the Lord. And, you know, her other daughter-in-law was going to go with her. But when Naomi said, "No, you go back to your people," she said, "I'm out." Really kind and respectfully, but she said, "I'm out." And Ruth is like, "No. Your God will be my God. I want to be with you. I want to walk with you." And why? Because Naomi had invested in her enough that now Ruth probably felt some sense of responsibility towards her. She's now alone. You're going back to your country. And then when they get there, what happens? I know I'm going to get the names mixed up. So if I do, y'all just interpret. So Naomi then began to mentor Ruth. And finding a new husband. Yes, go out here. Now, you know, pick up the stuff in this field. Now you're going to go and you're going to crawl under the covers at Boaz's feet. Really? But she did it. And so, you know, she mentored her. She poured into her. Then there's David. David mentored his son Solomon to become king. I know that sometimes, you know, this is a great example of mentoring can be good or bad. When you start mentoring someone, they're watching you. They see everything you do. They see when you blow up. They see when you have a bad day. And then they see how you recover from that. They're watching you. They're seeing everything you do. And they're walking in your steps. So it's so important when you start mentoring someone that you do that, because they may fall like, you know, Solomon. I really believe this is a side note. Solomon had all those concubines because his dad had all those concubines. He followed the heart of God. Solomon was the wisest man. He did all those things, but he learned from David. So David mentored his son Solomon to rule the nation. In 1 Kings 2:2, it says, "So this is what David said to Solomon. So be strong. Show yourself to be a man. Do what the Lord your God tells you. Walk in his ways, keep all his laws and his word by what is written in the law of Moses. Then you will do well in all that you do in every place that you go." That's what David said to Solomon as they were transferring those things. That's a scripture that I say to my boys, to both of my boys, when they got married. I read that to them through tears. Show yourself to be a man. Do what the Lord God tells you and what your mama tells you. And they're struggling doing probably both of those. But anyway, I digress. So that's what David mentored Solomon. Then we have Barnabas. Barnabas led Saul, whose name was changed to Paul, on the road. Remember, I think, to Damascus. Oh, Sunday school. And the light shined down, and that was God, and his name became Paul. So Barnabas mentored Paul to the Lord. Then he mentored him, Paul, until Paul was leading his own and mentoring his others, such as Timothy and Titus. So Barnabas spent all that time with Paul. He traveled with Paul, and Paul watched him, and there became a time when Paul then went on his own and mentored others as well, which is exactly what's supposed to happen. But then Paul didn't stop there. He pushed Paul on and he said, "Okay, now who's next?" And Paul took John Mark, Barnabas took John Mark, who Paul had deserted Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. And Paul was frustrated with him and that he didn't hang with the journey and left. And that's when Paul and Barnabas split ways. And Barnabas said, no, I see something in this young man. He made a mistake. He wanted to go home to mama. You know, that's what Southern people do, we've learned. Anyway, everybody's yes in that. And, he wanted to do that, and so Paul says that I'm going on my own. And then Paul said, I can take John Mark. I put up with Paul. I can put up with John Mark. And so then he took John Mark, and he mentored John Mark to a place where Paul said, send me John Mark. Send me. He is vital. And so Barnabas saw something in him, and Barnabas not only mentored Paul, but he mentored John Mark. And then there's Jesus, of course, who mentored his disciples. He didn't mentor one. He did 12 all at the same time. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever had people in your life. Me and my friend Lori used to say when she was doing my nails, everybody only has to have two high maintenance friends. After that, you do not have a vacancy for another friend. That's high maintenance. You know, because I just can only do two. And when one drops off, if you get one that's really high maintenance, one is all you can have. But, you know, Jesus took 12 men and he mentored them. He walked with them. He talked with them. He listened to them. I'm sure more than recorded, he rebuked them. These were young men. Think about your 17 to 25-year-old boys. Young men that probably couldn't stay on the path and couldn't do what they're doing, couldn't keep the focus. You know, he would get frustrated because I've taught you this already. But he spent time because they were worth the value. Hey, did I miss? Okay, there we caught him. Okay, so in 2015, I assumed the role of Women's Ministries Director. And in the 2014 Ladies Retreat, I was able to speak on Sunday morning about what my passion was, what my vision was, and it was mentoring. And I gave you this example, and she may remember that. I gave you this example, and this was the example I said. I talked about how I had spent 11 years mentoring and pouring in and investing into a young lady by the name of Odessa. And she was young when we got there and had one baby and wound up with 5 by the time we left. But I poured into her. You know why? Because I loved her. And I saw something in her. And I could see something that maybe she couldn't even see. But I knew God had a special call on her life. And so I began to pour into her and love her and laugh with her and play with her and have a great time with her. Well, then eventually, my daughter, who was 2 and a half when we moved to that church, became youth age. And Odessa and her husband were youth leaders. And she started going to youth. And what happened? I mentored Odessa. Odessa began to pour into Emily. And oh, Odessa meant everything to Emily. She was the cool person. All that. Still to this day. And she began to pour into her. And that was my heart. I want us as women who love the Lord, because today we need women who love the Lord and who can pour into the younger women who don't know or even understand what the way of the Lord is. To understand what the Bible says. You understand when women come into our churches and they don't know Jesus, they also don't know what the Bible says? So then they don't know what they're doing is not right. You know, they don't understand those things and they wonder why in the world we're doing this and why do you talk about that? And they wonder why their marriages are falling apart. We're saying, well, let me tell you. Because we've got to get biblical guidance. And here's the amazing story about this this mentorship. Now, both those young women are both in full-time ministry. Odessa and Dusty are pastoring the church that we were at. My daughter's now the kids pastor at the church we're at. Both in full-time ministry because somebody mentored them. Somebody poured into their lives. Somebody saw value in them. And you need to be sensitive and say, okay, oh, I see value in them. How can I pour into their hearts and into their lives? For me, when I find someone, I'm like a pit bull more than a hound dog. Hound dog defined them than a pit bull. And I'm like, I'm on them. I really see that God's got something on you. He's going to use you. Man, God sees something in you that maybe you don't see yourself. But if you will just surrender to Him, He will use you to do mighty things. And I'm here to walk with you. Who should be a mentor? Mothers, grandmothers, older women, younger women. That includes all of you. Some of you may be really young and you say, well, who am I mentoring? Maybe you should work in the youth department and find some young women who need young women as examples. Our youth pastors' wives, I'm telling you, they have a job ahead of them because our students are being taught and they're being exposed to things that that we have never even imagined. And they need someone. You need to pray for those youth pastors' wives, those youth pastors, that they have clear understanding of what God says. Because those girls are coming to them. And those youth leaders that are female and male, but we're talking about women, they're coming to them with questions. And you know what? Our leaders need to be able to answer those questions biblically. So you need to, not you, but someone needs to mentor them. And someone needs to mentor you. So who needs to be, that's who should be a mentor. Who needs a mentor? Mothers, grandmothers, older women, and younger women need a mentor. I don't want to get ahead of myself, so I'm just going to look at my notes real quick. Let's say you are looking for a mentor. What should you look for? Someone who walks the talk. Very good. Any other ideas? What should you look for if you're looking for a mentor? I'm sorry?
Integrity.
Integrity?
Spiritual maturity.
Solid. I didn't hear that.
Solid.
Speak up, I can't hear you.
Sound
doctrine. Allison?
Someone who's going to shoot it straight to you.
I might mentor her. Someone who cares about you? Absolutely.
Who you trust?
Someone who's willing to say the hard things. Say the hard things, yeah?
Someone who possesses the attributes
that you want to develop. Thank you, that too. Okay, so here's, I've got some, all of those may be on here. So we have some basic requirements for a mentor. If you're looking for a mentor, you need to find someone who loves Jesus. And I don't mean they know about Jesus. I mean they love Jesus. So, you know, I really need a mentor. I need someone who loves Jesus. Because if they love Jesus, then they're going to shoot straight, shoot you in the right direction. Maybe not shoot straight, but they will. They have a growing relationship with Jesus. Not just they go to church. You can see a growing relationship with Jesus. You've watched them. You've been attentive to them. And you're like, okay, I can see that. I can see that. And then you also need someone you can connect with. There's no reason to find a mentor that you really can't connect with. You know, they love to hike and you like to sit on the couch. There's really not going to be much. I don't know why me and Allison are connected, because she likes to hike and I like to sit on the couch. But you need to find someone you can connect with, okay? Now, specific requirements. Someone with the same interest or goals as you. So if you are wanting to be in ministry, you probably need to find mentors that are in ministry. Because they're going to understand things different than those who maybe aren't in ministry. If you want to be a teacher, it might find that you find mentors who are teachers. Someone who is taught or a teacher or has teaching experience that can not only mentor you biblically and spiritually, but they can also mentor you in the ways of the teaching. Our youth pastor's wife, Liz, well, she wasn't here, she's gone, she's taking pictures. She's a school counselor. Man, she just started finding. She's got school counselor mentors everywhere. She is, because she knows she needs to know. You have to come into this, and how do I do this? How do I relate with others? If you are going to be a leader, you need to find a leader to mentor you, who can show you how to lead, who can show you how to talk in front of people, who can show you how to prepare for that. Find someone who has the same interests and goals as you, and someone who is willing to put in the time. You know, sometimes you can have passive mentors, and that's fine. You're watching them from afar, and you can say, they're one of my mentors, and that is totally acceptable. But if you want someone who's going to really pour into you, you're going to have to find someone who's willing to do that. They need to know they're going to be your mentor. Okay? They need to know that they're putting time in for you. If they don't have time, you can still watch them. But if they don't have time for you, there's not going to be much mentoring going on. Two reasons you mentor. Okay, so as a mentor or finding a mentor, there's two reasons why you mentor. Sometimes it's an organic thing that just happens. You weren't looking for them, they weren't looking for you, you just both found each other. It was organic, you connected, life was good, and so you begin to mentor, or you begin to be mentored. Other times, it's strategic placement. So I want to just talk to some of those. If you have women's ministries leaders in the room, or pastors' wives, or anything you may lead, sometimes you need to mentor someone to replace you. And that doesn't mean, and that's so scary because you're like, I ain't done. I don't need to be mentoring nobody because I ain't done. Well, you know, that mentee might take a few years. So, and it takes a while to find them and all those things, but as you are working, you need to start saying, who can fill my shoes? Because you never know when God's going to call you to do something else. And you need to look and say, okay, this is a strategic mentoring. How am I going to figure this out? God, who do you have to replace me? It could be in 10 years, 20 years. I keep wanting to say this, and I'm going to get ahead of myself, but if, you know, who did that for me was Peggy Vodder. How many of you remember Peggy? I don't think Peggy knew when I took Girls Ministries in 2003 that I was going to be the district director for Women's Ministries. So I don't think she knew that. But for 11 years, she poured into me. For 11 years, I traveled with her. I made a fool of myself every retreat dressing up as something else. You know, and entertained everyone so they could laugh and take pictures. But you know what? She poured into me. She taught me things. She would say, okay, Linda, this cannot be talked to with others. All right. Good, because I like to talk and I may get in trouble. She would guard me. She would listen to me. There was heartaches. There were times that I was so discouraged, even depressed. There were struggles that I could pour out to her. I remember one time driving down the highway, and I'm driving and sobbing. I'm sure she was praying that we survived. And she was so calm and collected, and she would just talk and just pour into me. And sometimes that's what happens. So if you're a leader, look for someone. You think, God, is that who it is? Is that who it is? Whoever it is, you need to replace yourself. So sometimes it's not just organic, but it's strategic. Here are some mentoring tips. I'm trying to make sure that I don't miss anything because you want it all. Okay. Some tips how to be a mentor or replace yourself. Recognize the need or the value, okay, in the young woman you're mentoring. You see that they need a mentor. You see that they have value. You see that you have something you can give to them. You need to recognize that and make an effort to see it. I say the call down here for ministry women. You know, sometimes you can look at people and see God's call all over them. We have a young man in our church I keep saying that about right now. Oh, God's call all over him. There ain't no doubt. God's call's all over him. But you may see young women that you see that God's calling them. And if you're in ministry, you need to go and invest in them. Because we are at a major deficit of women accepting the call of God. Because it's hard. It's got a stigma. It's sometimes not fun. I love it, but sometimes it hasn't been fun. And so you need to recognize that. So if you recognize a call and you're a woman in ministry, you need to start pouring into them. Number two, you need to be patient with them. Be patient because they're not going to always have it together. They're not going to always make the right decision. Sometimes you're going to be completely frustrated because they did exactly what you said was stupid. And they did it anyway. And it turned out just like you said it was going to turn out. Got to be patient with them. You've got to invest in them. You're going to have to spend time with them. You're going to have to invest coffees, weekends, not the whole weekend, hours, a couple of hours here, lunches. You're going to have to invest. You're going to have to think about it. You're going to have to emotionally invest in what they need. You're going to have to place them in challenging environments. So this is why you see other people on the platform. They'll say, oh, I can't do that. Not Liz. Obviously, door prizes are her thing, but I don't know if I can do that. I think you can. I want you to do that. I see God's call on your life, and I think you need to move here. So I want you to move in that direction. I'm right here. Or I want you to lead this section of the meeting because I'm right here. I want you to take a bunch of women on mission trips. I'm right here. No problem. I'll go and just watch you and give my opinion a couple times. But besides that, I will let you go. I'll let you do it. Because we've got to train them up. We've got to release them. Women, we are too concerned about holding everything right here. It's mine. This is mine. This is my ministry, my work, my department, my job, whatever it is, this is mine. And really, we need to release it. The more we release it, trust me, there's still a lot of work to do. The more we release it, the better. I am a control freak. And it took me years to begin to say, no, you do that. You do that. And I found when I did that, I'm freer. Yeah. It's better for me. And then I get the joy of watching them do it and do a great job with it. You need to release them. Invest, release. Place them in challenging environments. You need, I've had other notes I didn't say. Affirm God's calling in gifts, whatever those gifts are. If they're a great public speaker, you affirm that in them. Boy, you did a good job speaking today. Boy, you did a good job organizing that event today. You know what? I saw you praying with those people, and I saw God using you. Man, you did amazing. Affirm them in what they do good. God's calling, their gifts, and then release them. Be a Barnabas, not a Paul. Pass the baton. Release them to do whatever it is. Don't hold them here so that you can just use them as they grow. We need to release them to do. So you want to be a mentor, a mentee. You say, I need a mentor. I need someone to mentor me. Well, here's a few tips. You're going to have to be vulnerable. Someone can't mentor you if you are not able to tell them what you need mentored with. If you're not able to tell them your struggles in whatever area it is that you're struggling, they can't mentor you. They can listen to you. Has anyone ever had someone call and they just vomit all over you, you know, verbally, how their life is so bad and everything's horrible, and you're listening and listening, and then they say, okay, well, I got to go. Bye. You're like, bye. You know, what'd you call for? You know, if you just needed someone to listen, you know, we could have done that with the fence post, but, you know, we can't be that way. We've got to be vulnerable. We've got to be ready to hear. We've got to be a learner. You have to say, I am ready to learn. I am ready to learn your great wisdom or whatever it is you have. I am ready to look at myself. I'm ready to look at myself and see how God needs to use me and what I need to change and what I need to do to be able to be used. You've got to be a learner, and then you have to endure. So many mentees, I looked it up, it's a real word. So many mentees, when it gets hard, they quit. When it gets hard, they pull back. Oh, no, you know too much. Oh, no, I don't want to do that. You know, don't do that. Endure. Say, you know what? Okay, I don't like it. I'm uncomfortable. Matter of fact, I'm even a little mad at you. But I want to endure. I want to put up with it. I talk about Liz a lot. She's not in here. I would talk with her in here. And all these people are going to tell her. So Liz was our youth pastor. She's been our youth pastor's wife, Josh's wife, for 9 years. And when she got there, she was very young. And I'm telling you, there were times both of us was in tears. She was mad at me. I was frustrated with her. And it was an organic thing that just happened. And I would just say, you know what? You just got to trust God. I'm just trying to trust God. Tears. And that's happened. But you know what? She didn't give up. She didn't say, you know what? I'm not talking to her anymore because this happens. She just kept coming back. And I just kept going back because I loved her and I saw something in her. And so if you are a mentee, if someone is pouring into you, endure that. You may have to take a break. You know what? We are on a friendship break for 7 days. You may have to do that so that you can get back in line where you need to be, where they can get in line where they need to be, and then you can say, okay, here I am, I'm back. I want to be used by God. I want to be developed. I want to have a mentor, and you need to try to do that. Today, I'm 52 years old, as of today. Well, as of March 10th, 19th, and earlier. It's not my birthday. I need to clarify that before you all bring me a Trenta black iced tea with no water. I'm just teasing. Please don't everybody bring me. So over my adult life, I've had at least 6 major mentors and countless others who have sacrificed valuable time to help me. I've had Peggy Vodder, Vicki Proppit, spent hours on the road, miles on the road, Loretta Steiger, Patty Neely, who's still doing that for me today, Linda Eldridge, who's out there, and these are all older than me because I'm 52, so they all pour into my life. Pour into life. When I was a youth pastor, we had a pastor's wife named Linda. She was a heavy lady. They called her Little Linda and me Big Linda. I was little bitty, but that was how she wanted it, so that's how we did it. She was hilarious, but she poured into me. Poured into me. For years after we started pastoring, I would think about how Linda did it. But you need mentors in your life. I'm 52 years old. I still have mentors in my life. I still have people I go to. People I go talk to about this situation. What do I need to do about this? Where do I go with this? Or this so frustrates me. One of the things Vicki Proppit taught me, I went to her one day and I said, I want to add so-and-so to my team, but I just don't have a piece. Then don't do it till you do. That's all she said. Turn around and walk away. That's Vicki. And she was right. Don't do it till you do. So here, let me tell you, don't do it till you do. Until you have a piece, don't do it. They've helped me in my marriage. They've helped me parenting my children. I'm trying to see how much time I got. Oh, I'm good. They helped me parenting my children. I have learned and tried to learn from their mistakes. How many of you are visual learners? I can watch you and learn from your mistakes. I've tried. Matter of fact, there's things now I pray all the time, God, help me finish well. Help me finish well, because I want to finish good. And so I listen to them. Today, I strive to be like them. I strive to make them proud. Still today, I think about things and I think, oh, they'd be proud. Oh, would they like that? What would they think about the platform? How y'all like my rejoice thing?
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Thank you. I did that. My house smelled like paint for a long time. I also work hard on trying to be like my mother, mentoring my children. My mother is in our business. Be in your kids' business. I love my kids. And spiritually, I try to say, I don't know if you should be watching that. I know you're nearly 30. But I don't know if you should be watching that. I don't know if you should be saying that. I try to be like my mother. My mother has always been that way. I try to be like Naomi and mentoring my daughter-in-laws. I have 2 daughter-in-laws, both named Amanda. And gets confusing, but you know what? I love them like they're my kids. And I try to mentor. I try to talk to them. I try to be available. I think I am. I think they're willing to call me and talk to me. I try to be that Naomi for them. I try to, like Barnabas, I try to mentor those young women coming behind me. I can't mentor them all, but I try to. I try to see them, and I try to see their desire for ministry and their desire for leadership, and man, I try to pour myself into them. So I just encourage you to do the same thing. We should all be working to raise up a generation of God-fearing, passionate women of Christ. Because what if we don't?
Right.
Listen, I am really passionate about that. I'm going to, since I got a few minutes, my husband is running for political office. You can't vote for him, but. And because of that, I see more than I ever saw before, ever in my life. And I am flabbergasted. I think I had my head in the sand for a long time. Our children need mentored. Our children need godly women to come and lift them up and strengthen them and love them because they want what is good, but they don't know what it is. They don't. No one's there to tell them. So women, I just encourage you to find someone to mentor. Find someone that the Lord lays on your heart or places in your path to mentor. And I encourage you to find someone to mentor you. Because you know what? You're going to get tired pouring out. You need someone pouring in. I wonder what happens when there's no one older than you to pour in. You're just tired. You're like, I poured out. I don't want nobody to pour. Don't pour anything else in. I have to give it out. I'm just saying, I just implore you, find someone to mentor and find someone to mentor you. And God will do amazing things. Okay. Look, I'm going to let you out early. Any questions? Maybe you're not going to get out early. Any questions? No questions? Oh, good. Well, then you've got it all. Okay, so let me pray really quickly, and then we'll just dismiss you. God, you see my heart for this subject. You see my passion. God, to pour into young women, Lord God, who love you. Lord God, that they could raise up and be mighty women of God. And Lord, I pray, God, that you just instill that in all of us. Lord, that we're all ready, Lord God, to look at the next generation, whatever that generation is for us, and say, okay, who can I pour into? God, who do you want me to pour into? What do I have that I can give to someone else? Because God, you gave it to me. And Lord God, that we would seek you and find you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise. In your name we say.